Unit 12, One Belt, One Road. Part 1, Preview Activities. Listening Comprehension. 1. Fill in the blanks with words you have heard from the passage. Beginning with the marvelous tales of Marco Polo's travels across Eurasia to China, the Silk Road has never ceased to entrance the world. Now the ancient cities of Samarkand, Baku, Tashkent, and Bukhara are once again firing the world's imagination. China is building the world's greatest economic development and construction project ever undertaken, the New Silk Road. The project aims at no less than a revolutionary change in the economic map of the world. It is also seen by many as the first shot in a battle between East and West for dominance in Eurasia. The ambitious vision is to resurrect the ancient Silk Road as a modern transit, trade, and economic corridor that runs from Shanghai to Berlin. The road will traverse China, Mongolia, Russia, Belarus, Poland, and Germany, extending more than 8,000 miles, creating an economic zone that extends over one-third the circumference of the Earth. The plan envisions building high-speed railroads, roads and highways, energy transmission and distribution networks, and fiber optic networks. Cities and ports along the route will be targeted for economic development. An equally essential part of the plan is a sea-based Maritime Silk Road, MSR, component. As ambitious as its land-based project, linking China with the Persian Gulf and the Mediterranean Sea through Central Asia and the Indian Ocean. When completed, like the ancient Silk Road, it will connect three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. The chain of infrastructure projects will create the world's largest economic corridor, covering a population of 4.4 billion and an economic output of $21 trillion. The idea for reviving the New Silk Road was first announced in 2013 by the Chinese President Xi Jinping. As part of the financing of the plan in 2014, the Chinese leader also announced the launch of an Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, providing seed funding for the project with an initial Chinese contribution of $47 billion. China has invited the International Community of Nations to take a major role as bank charter members and partners in the project. Members will be expected to contribute with additional funding by international funds, including the World Bank, investments from private and public companies, and local governments. Some 58 nations have signed on to become bank charter members, including most of Western Europe, along with many Silk Road and Asian countries. There are 12 NATO countries among Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank's founding member states: UK, France, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, Luxembourg, Denmark, Iceland, Spain, Portugal, Poland, and Norway, along with three of the main U.S. military allies in Asia: Australia, South Korea, and New Zealand. Regional states can see that China is very serious indeed about creating huge infrastructure projects from Asia to Europe. They can also see what occurred with the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, as the world piled in. These states intend to be a part of it. Buttressing this effort, China plans on injecting at least $62 billion into three banks to support the New Silk Road. The China Development Bank, CDB, will receive $32 billion. The Export-Import Bank of China, EXIM, will take on $30 billion. And the Chinese government will also pump additional capital into the Agricultural Development Bank of China, ADBC. China and much of the world is intent on developing the largest economic development project in history, one that could have dramatic ripple effects throughout the world economy. The project is expected to take decades, with costs running into the hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions. What that will mean for the world economy and trade is almost inconceivable. Is it any wonder, then, that the world's largest hedge funds, like Goldman Sachs and Blackstone, are rushing to market new multi-billion-dollar international infrastructure investment funds? No doubt a project as large and complex as this is likely to have failures, and is certain to face many Western geopolitical obstructions. In a world where economic growth is tepid, with Europe still struggling with the aftermath of the global recession, along with China's growth slowdown, where else could a project that promises so much opportunity be found? It's a good bet that giant iron mining companies like Vale, that have seen their business fall to a 13-year low, are currently busy figuring how much steel goes into construction of a new, high-speed 8,000-mile railroad. If the project is successful, it could very well spark a boom across the entire depressed international mining, commodities, and construction sectors. Consider how many jobs could be created in a decades-long construction project that spans a huge region of the world. In practically every sector, the prospects are enormous for a revival of trade and commerce. The ancient Silk Road increased trade across the known world, but the road also offered far more than trade. One of its least anticipated benefits was the widespread exchange of knowledge, learning, discovery, and culture. Beyond the riches of silks, spices, and jewelry, it could be argued that the most important thing that Marco Polo brought back from China was a famous nautical and world map that was the basis for one of the most famous maps published in Europe, one that helped spark the Age of Discovery. Christopher Columbus was guided by that map and was known to have a well-annotated copy of Marco Polo's travel tales with him on his voyage of discovery of a new route to India. For the world at large, its decisions about the road are nothing less than momentous. The massive project holds the potential for a new renaissance in commerce, industry, discovery, thought, invention, and culture that could well rival the original Silk Road. Two, listen to the passage again and answer the following questions according to the passage.